Okay, we'll get motoring on here because a lot to get through, so I'm not going to tell you many stories like I usually do and just spend these times and, you know, I've been... You what? You come for the stories. Hallelujah. Lesson 8. Anyway, it's been great. We've really enjoyed it. We've enjoyed the presence of Jesus in this place. We've enjoyed the fellowship. We've enjoyed the Holy Spirit moving in these meetings. And we're just so glad to hear good reports that, you know, God's doing good things within the people of God in this place. And, you know, the Bible says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And, you know, that's what's happening. We get filled when we hunger after his presence. So a little bit of revision from last week. In the gifts of tongues and interpretation, the tongue could be quite short and the interpretation lengthy or vice versa, right? When we tongues and interpretation, the tongue could be long, the interpretation could be short, or it could be vice versa. It doesn't matter because it's not an interpretation. It's not a translation, I should say. It's an interpretation of the dynamic mind and will and purpose of God. So it could be shorter or longer. So we never go just because, oh, it's longer or it's shorter. So it could be either. This is because it's not a translation, and it's not a translation, but it's an interpretation of the tongues that God gives when He flows in that way. So the gifts must be operating in the church with control and order. And I say control, and I mean by control by the Holy Spirit. Control by the Holy Spirit. In other words, led by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be Spirit led. And the other thing is, especially on this little part here, you know, it'd be no good if there's a whole bunch of people in here and all of a sudden everybody's jumping up and start singing in tongues or shouting in tongues or whatever. Confusion would reign in the place. So God needs order, you know, because what, as I think I said it last week, what can actually happen is sometimes you can be sitting there and you can be sitting with that tongue or even that interpretation, but does it really mean that you have to give it? You always ask the Holy Spirit. Is it me? Because the more we grow in spiritual things and the more we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, what happens is we start to become sensitive to what's going on in the Spirit. We start to know. So we ask the Holy Spirit, is it for me to give or somebody else going to give it? He'll tell you straight away. You're just here. Give it. Give it. Right? And that's how we know. And that's what we've got to learn to grow with Him and ask Him the questions when we're starting to sense things. Okay, let's move on. The gifts of the Spirit and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Always the platform. The platform is always Jesus, looking at the platform that He stands on and how He ministers. Although we could expect the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in the earthly ministry of Jesus, it is remarkable that His total ministry was confined within the framework of the gifts of the Spirit. I'll clear up in a minute. Within the gifts of the Spirit. His whole ministry was confined to the gifts of the Spirit. While on earth, Jesus permitted His ministry to function within the gifts of the Spirit. If He had performed His ministry as God, this would have eliminated you and me. Did you hear that? He operated as a man by the Holy Spirit. He did not operate as God with those gifts. If He would have operated as God, even as God the Son, and out of the manifestation of those gifts, me and you would have been sunk. We couldn't have done it. But it's the same Spirit that He operated out of as the same Holy Spirit that comes upon the church to operate in those gifts. So since Jesus, as the Son of Man, performed His ministry through the same gifts which have been made available to us, then the words He spoke, greater works than these you shall do, can be accomplished. John 14 and 12. Most assuredly I say unto you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And you would have never been able to do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ if he'd have done it out of his deity. But he'd done it out of his humanity, anointed by the Holy Spirit coming upon his life. Jesus laid aside his deity. Too many Christians believe that Jesus performed the supernatural deeds because he was God. If that was true, it raises certain questions. And here's some of the answers. How can the believer carry on and do the same works that Jesus said we would do if it was out of his Godhead? 1. 2, if Jesus functioned on earth as God, why would he have had to be anointed with himself to get the job done? Right? Why would he have had to be anointed? In fact, you remember in Mark, I think it's Mark 4:18, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind and to set the captives free and to open the prison doors. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost and power. Acts 10:38 says, and the anointing, it says that Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Man, was anointed by the Holy Ghost and power to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he operated and functioned by the Spirit of God as a man upon the earth. Laid his deity aside, it says in Philippians. Matthew 3:16 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. The Spirit of God came upon him. In fact, there's a scripture here, Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What do you mean God was with him? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, because he was God. He was the Son of God. He was God. Laid his deity aside, but it says God was with him. It's talking about God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is with you. He's in you, and he desires more than you desire to operate and to manifest in his gifts. He wants to manifest his glory. He wants to manifest. That's why he came to the earth, to anoint the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. You are the body. He wants to anoint the body to do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is still doing the same works. Why is he doing them? Through his body. The same Jesus. Yesterday, today, and forever, never changes, wants to do the same things, but he will do it through his body now, anointed by the Holy Spirit. But you have to have an expectation for it, like we have demonstrated over these classes, over these few weeks. Expectation, put a demand. Put a demand on the Word of God. Put a demand on these gifts and desire. Desire. Desire these gifts. How do you desire? You press in, you penetrate, you worship, you thank God for the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. You put a demand on the gifts of the Spirit, they will manifest because he desires to manifest. From these scriptures, it is clear that Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, did all these signs and wonders, but are manifestations of the Holy Spirit through him, right? So all the manifestations came by the Holy Spirit through him. Through him. So it's the same for you. Any manifestation, tongues, interpretation, whatever gift it is the manifestations of the Spirit of God operating through us. But we have to expect it. Jesus functioned in all the gifts that were available. From previous lessons, we saw that Jesus had the Spirit without measure operating in his life, right? I've taught this in the last few weeks. He had the Spirit without measure. We believe that we believers have the Spirit by measure, which means we only have the little part individually of the Spirit in our lives, whereas Jesus had it all. Why? Because when Paul is talking to the church about the gifts of the Spirit, he's talking to the church, not even individuals. He's talking now, the gifts of the Spirit operate through individuals, but he's talking to the body of Christ. So in other words, all of the gifts of the Spirit will operate within the body of Christ if we have expectation, because we are his body. Jesus walked in his body and he operated out of all of those gifts, 9 gifts. He operated in the 5-fold ministry, every single one of them. God gives gifts unto men and offices unto men, and he also gives and manifests these gifts to the Holy Spirit through us, but it's for the body. So the corporal anointing, that's why church is so important, because God needs the corporal anointing, because that's where he will basically use the individuals within the body to manifest his glory. We could say it this way, what gifts Jesus had manifesting in his life is what the body of Christ have corporally between us. Corporately between us. And it doesn't mean that he won't use you in all those gifts in a period of time. I'm not saying that, right? But I'm talking Jesus continually operated in all these things, but God desires he will use it through the body. God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for a body ministry. Every part, fitly joined together. Adding what God wants. Fitly joined together, it says in Ephesians. Every part doing its part. So let us now look at examples of seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit that were available to Jesus. Tongues and interpretation are manifestations of the Spirit for the church age. So we know that the tongues and interpretation was not for the Old Testament age. They operated in seven different manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, but the other two were for the church age, for when the body of Christ got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. So the word of wisdom. Jesus predicted the future and told of things which would come to pass. See Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke 21. So you can read that on your own time. Jesus is prophesying and talking about what's going to happen in the last days. You remember in Matthew it talks about earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and all these crazy things that happened a number of times. So Jesus was prophesying. So it wasn't just the prophecy, edification, comfort, and exhortation. It was prophecy. It was the words of wisdom. Through the prophecy, he was revealing what was about to happen in the future. So that's the word of wisdom in operation, because he's talking about the future, right? What we're doing tonight, we're recapping. That's what we're doing tonight. We're just recapping over all these different gifts and how Jesus operated in these gifts. So he spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 4 and 5 and 8 says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So again, he's prophesying, hey, wait in Jerusalem, because Jesus knew that the Holy Spirit was going to come and was going to baptize them. And they were going to be filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. And they were going to prophesy and they were going to declare the awesome works of God, which you can read chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And it talked about they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues. And then what happened is they started to prophesy and magnify God in all different languages. All the Medes and the Persians and Greeks and all heard these Jews speaking in their languages, glorifying and magnifying God. Supernatural. This is what Jesus was talking about. Words of wisdom. Prophesying it. Declaring it in. The word of knowledge that he operated in. Jesus told Nathanael he saw him under a fig tree, and when he was not near enough to see with the natural eye. So Jesus told Nathanael certain things through the words of knowledge. John 1 and 48 says this. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I saw you. I saw you. Now, I'm reading about Jesus, people. But these gifts are for us. These gifts are absolutely for us. In the same way, they will function in the same way if we have an expectation for us to do this. He's talking to Philip. He goes, hey, Nathanael. He saw him, he knew what Philip was about. He knew where he was. He saw it. The Samaritan. So Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? He said, Jesus answered, I saw you before Philip, before I called you, when you were under the fig tree. So he saw him under the fig tree. I remember I told you a story about me lying on the bed, praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden I saw myself in an aeroplane. I saw myself in an aeroplane, and 2 hours later I got a phone call. You're going to America. You've been called to go to America. God was showing me through perception, through words of knowledge, God was showing me, and also words of wisdom, because that was the future. But God was revealing that in my spirit, and I saw myself on an aeroplane by the Spirit of God. And that door, when I went to America, it opened doors for me to be connected with all different types of people and end up going to Honduras from there. So it's all supernatural. Praying in the Spirit is the doorway into the supernatural that will open these things, and then words of knowledge can flow, words of wisdom can flow, descending of spirits can flow. But the key is praying in other tongues, building yourself up in your most holy faith, building yourself up and keeping yourself sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Ramana Kititi Ingrai. Ho Ramandai. And she pro miminindiki prangai in glekru and zitilidi in gresti menzai. And she robobosti in greba haha manandai and dilre in sotoro and za eka and echo om and zi and zolrosti priesto mangrai haha ho and zeki haha risimendai in di kikri ro and zalra hashindo arni and zoka and vairi and so and jikoproma ekepru and zangrai.
I saw a couple of different pictures. The first one was from 1 Peter, where it talks about how we're being fit together as living stones. And I just saw this foundation of Jesus and him putting all of us together, just fitting us together. And I just kind of felt like it was like God was reassuring us. I'm doing a work in each of you, and it's like you've got your... that place where I'm putting you, and you are being fit together. You're being built into like a glorious temple that's going to house the Holy Spirit. And then I also just saw the vine growing and Jesus just reminding his disciples that he was the vine and we are the branches. And, you know, it's like in order to bear fruit, we stay on that foundation. We stay in the vine, we stay in connected to the body, connected to God, and that's what I saw.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I also saw a little picture, and it was a wall of stone. And from the bottom, it slowly started, how do you explain it? Like flowers, but they started from the bottom, and they slowly, like kind of like a wave, started growing up over the stone until it got to the top. It was like a rush. I don't know how to explain it. A flow of flowers, and they just... grew and appeared.
Some, isn't it? But the growth, the stones. We are living stones. We are living stones. And he is the vine. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and we are growing up into him. Fully grown, he wants mature believers, he wants mature, the sons of God. We seen that post every time I look at it coming out of the toilet. It's the sons of God, they're waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. This is what we're talking about tonight. It's manifestations of the sons of God, those who are mature to hear and be led by the Spirit and act upon and do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Samaritan woman at the well with Jesus is another example of the word of knowledge in operation. John 4:16-18 says, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands. You have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not yet your husband, and that you spoke truly." So he was telling her by the word of knowledge exactly how many husbands she had, and the guy that she's with now is not even her husband. And then she, you know the story, she goes flying into the village and tells about all this man told her about her life. That's the power of the gifts of the Spirit. And you start revealing those gifts, and what happens is people will not be able to, but they will glorify God. And they will want to know this Jesus that you know. And then she comes back to get saved. Why? Because of the words of knowledge flowing. The descending of spirits. When Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus, we see Jesus descend in his spirit. John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." See, descending of spirits. We talked about this over the last few weeks. Descending of spirits is not just always about demons. It's about angels looking into the realm of the spirit. Descending of spirits is looking into the realm of the spirit. And also, you can look in, but when the descending of spirits in operation, you can look into a person's heart and know what's in a person's heart by the Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus was doing right here. A man without guile spoke what the man was like. And you know what? I believe that we do that. How many times over the years have we got with somebody and we've just been talking to somebody and you just look at them and you go, "Man, you just got a pure heart." So simply, because that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing by the Spirit of God. You just, it's inside of you. You know. The gift of faith. Jesus raised the dead and stilled the storm. He did all this out with any natural strength. Matthew 8:26-27 says, "But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you little of faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be? That even the winds and the sea obey him." What was they obeying? They were obeying when he spoke in that realm of that gift of faith. When that gift of faith comes on and it speaks, it causes storms to stop. It causes things to change. The Spirit of faith comes upon you. It's not your faith that comes from the Word of God. You can believe God for things because you've got faith in your heart. But this is the gift of faith. And when that comes on, it does supernatural things instantaneously. Jesus rose up and rebuked the winds, commanded them to be calm, and they stopped. Now, how do we do it? We enter. That's why we've got to be filled with faith. We've got to be filled with faith through the Word of God. Why? Because faith believes that God is able to do the impossible, that the God that dwells within us. So I know that we tap into those gifts by our faith. In other words, we've been trained over the years for the prophecy and all these different things, and the Word of God is in our life, and as we preach the Word of God, faith comes to your heart. So what happens is you've got faith to believe to step into that realm. Faith to step into that realm. So any gifts that we want to really, basically, we're sensing that God wants us to move into, we need to be studying, we need to be penetrating, we need to be going over this material and over this material and worshiping God and letting the Holy Spirit basically get that faith into our heart. So that when he's ready to come upon us in the situations, you will have, the faith will rise and your faith will tap into the supernatural gift of faith. Because you'll have an expectation for that. You won't sit and think, "Oh, it's just for Jesus, it's just for them, it's just for such and such, it's just for the pastors." It's for anybody that will basically stand up, fill their life with God, and penetrate God. God will move into the situation. John 11:43-44 says this. Now, when he had said these things, he cried, this is Jesus, with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. But if you read the chapter before that, the interesting thing, I'll just throw this in here. Jesus is standing at the grave, and it says, in fact, I think it's twice that it mentions it, twice. It says, he's groaning in spirit. He's groaning in spirit, right? He's groaning in spirit. I believe it's the intercession. That's the Spirit of God groaning in spirit for about what's about to happen in the realm of the spirit. He groaned in spirit, right? And then it says, oh, he weeps. He wasn't weeping from the emotions. It was the compassion of God. It was the compassion of God from his innermost being, and the groaning and the travailing in the spirit. And that's why I think I've talked about stories about, you know, your great Charles Finney's with all the miraculous signs and wonders within his ministry. I mean, phenomenal miracles in Charles Finney's ministry, but he always put it down to a guy called Father Nash and a couple of others that would take a hotel room 2 and 3 weeks before it, go and basically worship and praise, and they would be on the floor groaning and travailing in the spirit, groaning and travailing, giving birth to things in the spirit. And Finney always says, after Father Nash went home to the Lord, his ministry was never the same. His ministry was never the same. That's his own testimony. Finney says his ministry was never the same after Nash went home to be with the Lord. So it tells you something about prayer. It tells you about that type of prayer that we can go into our spirit when the Holy Ghost uses us and the groanings and the travailings and giving birth to things. Jesus did it and gave birth to the miracle, what was about to happen. And then the spirit of faith came upon his life, and then he spoke after the travail. After the travail. There's many times in my life, and all I know, and Tracy, sometimes we've been sitting, we've been fellowship, or we've been praying or whatever, and that joy comes and springs up. And the minute that joy comes, it's like the thrust of your faith inside. The thrust of your faith, that joy, and it's full of glory. And then I know when that joy comes, I yield that to that joy. When I yield to that joy, you sense the power of God being released straight after when prophecy comes, or the word has been delivered from, because it's like it's been formed inside your spirit. It's been formed inside your spirit. Even when you're laughing inside, it's the Holy Ghost forming something within your spirit. And it can be released in joy, or it can be released in the groanings and the travailings. There's different ways and different manifestations the Holy Ghost will move in. Okay. The working of miracles. Jesus touched the blind eyes, John 9:6. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, Luke 8:54. Jesus broke the bread and multiplied to feed the 5,000. He took the two little fish from that little boy and some loaves of bread, and he broke it. And they reckon over 5,000, probably over 7,000, we're counting the children, over 7,000 people were fed. And when they came back, he told them all to sit on the ground, right? He got them organized. The disciples then fed the multitude, and he came back with the baskets were overflown. The God of the miraculous. Sometimes, you know, and we do as churches, right? And I know that there's times and seasons, you know, we churches will sell things and coffee times and, you know, and they'll sponsor things and whatever. But I believe that there's a supernatural manifestation and supernatural provision that we're not been tapping into, that Jesus is trying to show us even when we look at these stories. You remember when even Jesus turned around to Peter, go to the pond and go to the fish and take the money out of the fish's mouth. I mean, money out of the fish's mouth to pay the taxes. And yet they had. But you know the interesting thing about this? They actually had the money to pay the taxes. So what I love about that story is that God will provide more than and above. They had the money to pay the taxes, but Jesus, hey, go down there, do a bit of fishing, and take the money out of the fish's mouth. Now, can you imagine what he may have been thinking? Eh? Did you say go down and do some fishing? And right? But he obeyed. See, the key is he obeyed. There's many times that God tells us to do things supernaturally, and it sounds crazy to our mind. It sounds crazy because your reasoning realm has got nothing to do with faith. Nothing to do with faith. The reasoning realm has nothing to do with faith. It's outside of that. The faith is independent of circumstances. The faith realm is independent of circumstances. So Jesus goes down there, takes the money out. Supernatural provision. Miracles. 7,000 people fed. Miracles. Jesus, why are those stories in the Bible? Come on. Why are those stories in the Bible? He didn't just put them in there just to fill the pages up. He put them in there because he's trying to show us that he is the God of the supernatural, that he is the God that breaks the bread, and he will again break the bread through us and do the supernatural through us, through the body of Christ, because in the natural, we will never get the job done selling cookies and cakes and having, you know, there's supernatural provision that we need to tap into by faith. And it will be that supernatural, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, that will cause things to do these things. So Jesus turned water into wine, multiplied the bread, opened the blind eyes. The guy that opened the blind eyes, what did he say? They tried to persecute him. The religious people tried to persecute him. Who done this? And he goes, look, I've got no idea. All I know is that I was blind, but now I can see. What could they say to that? They tried to persecute him. The results will talk for themselves. Doesn't matter who's doing them. Doesn't matter what person God's moving through. It's not about the person. It's about the manifestation of God working through the person that really counts. It's about the results. It's about the fruit that comes from the working of miracles, the gift of faith. That's my last page. Yeah? Yeah. The gifts of healings. Jesus opened his ministry by healing the leper. Matthew 8 and 2 says, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Right? Now, I was praying this the other morning, and something just hit me. I just want to just give you this anyway, right? The leper comes to me and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Because people have questions. Is God willing? Right? And he says, if you're willing, and Jesus says, I'm willing. And it says, Jesus stretched forth his hand and healed him, right? Stretched forth. As I was praying that the other morning, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit showed me, is he willing? Now watch this. He stretched forth his hand. He stretched forth his hand at the cross and made a covenant with mankind that he became sick, that we could become healed, that he could become poor, that we became rich in all things in our life. He stretched his hand out again and he made a covenant with his body, with his church. He's willing, people. So if we don't get that, if we're not fully persuaded and fully convinced, like it says in Romans chapter 4 with Abraham, if we're not fully persuaded and fully convinced, how are we going to operate in these things? We've got to be fully persuaded and fully convinced it is God's will, because God made the covenant at Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the blood covenant from his side for the whole of mankind, that all of these things could flow to mankind, the gifts and the healings, deliverance and all of these things. It's his will. It's his purpose. He stretched his hand out. And you know what? Today, he wants to stretch his hand out again. You know who through? Through his body. He wants to stretch his hand out. When people are in situations like, he wants to stretch his hand out and heal and deliver the captives. But we have to be fully persuaded and fully convinced that this is his will, that this is his purpose, that we are called for this time and we are called for this season. For this is the time and the season of the church, for the glory of the Lord to descend upon the church, for the church to rise and be what it's supposed to be. And that is the glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. He continued it by healing Peter's mother-in-law, and then the entire community brought their sick and they were healed. She got it. The mother-in-law. There's many jokes about the mother-in-law, isn't there? Once God heals the mother-in-law, hey, the doors are open, the floodgates are open, because mother-in-law has been saved. She's been delivered. Anyway, so he heals the mother-in-law. Matthew 8:15-16 says, so he touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and served him. I mean, he just touched her hand. Do you see how Jesus operates? Sometimes he gets the mud and sometimes he spittle. Sometimes he would cast things out. Sometimes he would speak. He touched her hand. It said he touched her hand. He touched her hand and fever left her and she arose and served them. And when even was come, they brought many who were demon-possessed and he cast out the spirits with a what? With his word. With his word. He cast out spirits with his word and healed all who were sick. He touched her. Isn't that beautiful? The old song, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. No wonder it's a beautiful song. He touched me. One touch from Jesus changes everything. Now, how is Jesus going to touch them? That's where we have to be filled, overflowing. The glory of God so arising within our heart, the glory on our life and rising from the center, so that when we touch people, there's a touch. Listen, the Christ, the anointing that dwells within us. It's why we touch people and we hug people. There's a touch that we can be aware of an anointing that's in you that can be transmitted through the hands by touching people. So it's about expectation. I mean, obviously that's when we talk about the stories like Smith Wigglesworth and, you know, on trains and the glory of God so filled with Jesus. The guy across him is falling on his face and screaming, God save me, God save me. Why? Because he was filled with God. He was filled with God. I believe we get filled with God when we receive the Holy Spirit, but I believe there's a continual filling. I believe it's continually. It's a continual filling. He continually fills us. He continually fills us to overflowing. And he wants to overflow. The gift of prophecy. Constantly refreshing and inspiring words flowed from Jesus and Jesus and men recognized that. John 7:46, the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. No man ever spoke like this man. Why? Because when Jesus prophesied, it impacted lives. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, impacting people's lives. So let's look at now here the gifts of the Spirit as recorded in the book of Acts. Now we're coming to the book of Acts, which is the church, right? Because it's where it started. The book of Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts of the Apostles, which should really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit when you look at it, because it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit moving through men and women of God in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit through the Apostles records the history of the infant Christian church and its 33 years or one generation. During this brief span of time, it grew from 120 believers on the day of Pentecost to over 8,000 and many, many more, and went on to cause the greatest spiritual upheaval in the history, a spiritual revolution unequaled by anything ever seen. Unequaled. One sermon. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, 5,000 people saved. One sermon, 7,000 people. One sermon. That was the power that was in the book of Acts. That's the power of the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Ghost comes like that, that is the power of the manifestation that God... See, we think... Sometimes if you think in your natural mind, thinking, how is God going to do this? Have you ever thought about that? How is God going to do this? You know, sometimes it just looks, you know, it seems like you're grinding, you're working. Well, that's why we've got to spend our time in the book of Acts. We've got to spend our time in the book of Acts, because when we spend our time in the book of Acts, we start to see the supernatural, and then we will start to believe the supernatural, and then God will start to flow through the supernatural. We have got to believe the supernatural power of God, that God can save thousands in a blink of an eye. One sermon. God sets a situation at one sermon and they're saved. They're coming in droves. Why? Because if you look at the book of Acts and you study the book of Acts, there were men and women of prayer. There were men and women of praise. They praised, they daily broke bread together. They worshiped God together. They praised God together. It says they were in unity. They were in oneness. They were in prayer on a daily basis. And the power of God was unleashed upon what was going on in every situation. The church has to be a church of prayer. Without prayer, there's no power, people. What makes the book of Acts so outstanding is the amount of manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people. There are over 50 distinct occasions where one or more of the gifts of the Spirit were functioning in the early church. As recorded in the book of Acts, their functioning was a normal operation of the spiritual growth and direction in the glorious church. Before we look at examples of the gifts in operation, it is worth noting that all the nine gifts were manifesting during this period collectively between all those involved. So all those gifts collectively were in manifestation in the book of Acts through all those different people. And that basically is a picture of what the church is supposed to be like. So we'll take a 5-minute break and we'll get back into it.
Okay, we'll start part two now. Let's hope the kids aren't too bored. Thank you, God. That's what I like about kids and teenagers. They'll say it like it is. At least you know where you stand with them, amen? Yeah, it's all right. Discerning of spirits, brother. I'll come and check you out later, see if you're lying. I'll ask you a question. I'll be the polygraph, amen? Okay, let's get on with this. Word of wisdom. Okay, the word of wisdom manifests through angels. So remember, word of wisdom is about the future as opposed to word of knowledge, which is something about now. Word of wisdom is to do with the future. So the word of wisdom manifests through angels. Acts 1 verse 11. Two angels had appeared to the apostles after they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So they were prophesying the return of Christ. Quite amazing, because that was a long time ago now. And it's still Acts today. We're still waiting for the return of Christ. So once again, I love it. You know, when the Lord says to me, "Oh, you know, soon, something's going to happen soon," I'm always thinking, okay, who's soon? My soon or your soon? I've learned after 30 years, soon could mean anything. Okay, through Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse 39. "For the promise is to you and to all your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Again, a futuristic prophecy. That was the promise of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit to the house of Israel. And it also went on to us as children of God, because we've been grafted in. Amen. So these words of wisdom from then are very prophetic, because the wisdom wasn't just speaking to the men in front of them. It was an echo. It was going through all the generations, and it's to us also. That promise of salvation is also to us, to our children, and even our children's children as we believe in it. Amen? And Paul, Acts 16, verse 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" I love that. Through a vision in the night. We don't always have to hear an oracle or a word. It can come through a vision. And what did he do? Immediately he went out. Now that's how God will speak to us. We need to recognize that those visions are God trying to get through to us. Sometimes he'll warn us about something that could happen in the future if we don't, like, take authority over it. Amen? If you ever get a vision about you having a car accident, don't just think, "Oh, woe is me," and let it happen. That can be a warning from God about something that may happen in your future. If you get a vision like that, what you do is you say, thank you, Lord. It's a warning. And you take authority over that in Jesus' name. And you forbid that car accident to happen. Amen? So God is interested in us. And if we're open to him communicating to us, he will do so through all of these avenues. Amen? And the fourth one is Agabus. Now, Paul and his companions were staying with Philip, the evangelist, in Caesarea. Acts 21 verses 10, 11. "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound on his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Amen? So God can speak to us words of wisdom through prophets or through anyone that has the ability also to prophesy. Amen? All of us can be used of God with the word of wisdom. It wasn't just subject to angels or to the apostles back in the day or to that prophet Agabus. Also, we can hear from God. The gifts of the Spirit are freely as God wills. Amen? And he can use us to speak to people about their future. So important. Very, very important to know it's not just gone by. And it's not just for those who are apostles or prophets or teachers or preachers. We can't be lazy thinking, oh, it's just for them, I won't bother. We have to have our faith out that, yeah, God wants to use us as well. Amen? Because we're children of God. And he's no respecter of persons. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Also, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, can come upon us to minister. Amen? We just have to expect it and be open. Amen? Just like that night, I said, okay, I'm going to expect to be used in tongues and interpretation. First time I really made a demand on it, and bang, there it was. There it was. Very simple. Because I had my expectant antenna up several more notches. And bang, there it was. I surprised myself. And now I'm away, Friday night at church, over in Whakatane. Bang, there I was, another tongue and interpretation. First time I had activated that in the church. And I got it, and I was bold. And I said, yeah, give me the microphone, and I went for it. So see, once you're out the gate, it's like that prize horse. Once it's out the gate, it just goes for it. Amen? So put a demand on God. And once you do it once or twice, you're away. I just thank God I'm away in that now. I'm looking for the next one. Okay, so words of knowledge. The word of knowledge manifested through angels. Now, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. I'm just going to read that. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and he said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, and he went. Amen? I think that would be brilliant. I'd love to see an angel. And they give you so many details. Must have been a female angel for the details. This stuff just comes instantaneously, I tell you. I hear it a split second before I say it. That's why I'm laughing in it myself. I think it's funny. All right. Okay, the second one is Peter. Okay, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19. Oh, geez, I want to start to laugh. Hang on. Well, Peter thought... I am laughing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. I love it. When we arrived here, let's call him Brother Scott. Brother Scott says to me, "We were thinking about you tonight for an extra boost." I thought, great. So on the way over here, I was also praying for you guys tonight on the way over here. And I believe I was just praying the future. So I was praying for Brother Scott that he would have that anointing and that vision, that he would be like ejected, like an ejection seat out of a plane when it's a time of emergency, would be ejected into your future so that you don't have to tolerate circumstances any longer. And I was praying for Jabron, and I was praying for your future as well. And I said, Lord, you know, currently she's in that children's church, probably very comfortable. So I was praying that the Lord would also eject you out of there, and that there would be someone to come and take over, and that you would be ejected also into your future, because there's much more to come as a woman of God and a woman of faith, and that God would use you as an authoress in the days to come, and that there would be suddenlies that would come your way. So I'm glad we were all thinking about each other prior to what was going on tonight. Amen? And it was going on back and forward. And I love the suddenlies. You know, many times we're going along in faith and we're doing, it's like Groundhog Day again. We're praying. I'm still here. I've had about a year and a half of international prophecies now. Pack your bags, pack your bags. How many bags do you want me to pack? I'm still here a year and a half later. Like I say, God soon, our soon is not the same. Use patience. Patience. The turtoise and the hare. They both got to the finish line. In fact, the turtoise got there quicker because the hare had many distractions. Amen? So forward is forward. It doesn't matter how slow it is. I don't know, sometimes with ourselves, we actually don't know we're getting closer to our promised land because we cannot see ourselves change and we can't see our circumstances change. But then I love the suddenlies. And as I passed the Rotorua Airport tonight, I heard the Lord said, you're soon going to be at the Rotorua Airport to go to another place within New Zealand. And you're going to be traveling to New Zealand first. And then internationally. Amen? So I just smiled. I said, great. Packed my bag, Rotorua Airport. Yay, write that down. Amen? And again, that's words of wisdom. That's God telling me about my future. I hold that dear to my heart. I don't try and make it happen. You don't see me down on a plane waiting for someone to bring me a ticket, do you, by faith? I could be there a long time. But I am waiting on the Lord, and he knows that. But I'm not waiting doing nothing. I'm pressing in, hungry for God. I'm paying attention. You've got to be alert and pay attention. It's like being in the army. You know, all those soldiers, the Marines, the military, whatever, they're not always off to war, but what are they doing meantime? They're polishing their boots. They're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're going for runs, and they're being disciplined. They're going through drills. They are so that when the call comes, they're absolutely prepared, all right? You must be prepared so that when the call comes, you say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. You don't want to be caught not ready.
We had a saying, hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. Is that American? I was a military saying, hurry up and wait. I'll talk to God about that later. Hurry up because I'm waiting. Okay, so Acts 10:19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. I love it. It's words of knowledge about now. Acts 11:12, then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me and we entered the man's house. I love it. I rely on words of knowledge for my daily life. I always want to go where God wants me to go that day. I never want to be doing my own thing. I always want to be about my Father's business. And I rely upon direction from him all throughout the day. Amen? To do with praying in the morning or seeing someone's face. And, you know, you see someone's face, what do you want me to do about that? Go and cook them a meal, pray for them, phone them up, give them something. All right? So don't let someone's face waft across your forehead or your mind and think, oh, that's nice, and do nothing about it. It could be the Holy Spirit trying to get through to you. Amen? Say, hey, pay attention, what? You know? Just ask, Holy Spirit, is that you? And if so, what? And if it's a memory down memory lane, just, and it's not good, cast it down. Does that apply to you, Danny? Hey, often, eh? Sometimes this man lives between two continents. Okay, so Paul in Acts 18, verses 9 to 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul a night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Isn't that awesome? That is so wonderful. I love that because sometimes we can be looking at circumstances and we can be thinking the natural, boy, I'm not going there. They're like some hungry lions are going to eat me up, you know? But if we know that we know we've heard from God and he says, hey, you just go, you be bold and you're going to be safe, we're going to go. We're going to need to know that when we're called for international ministry to some of these weird and wonderful countries. Am I going to be safe, Lord? Especially like countries like China, where people get murdered because they're preaching the gospel. I'd hate to appear in the newspapers in New Zealand. We were out there in China, we got murdered because we weren't praying and listening to the Holy Spirit. Because there are some places in the world that you cannot go unless you're anointed by God for safety to go there. Amen? So the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits manifests through Peter, Acts 5, 3 and 9. But Peter said, this is scary, isn't it? But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Then Peter said to it, how is it that you have agreed to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door and they will carry you out. Wow. They were so empowered at that time, the apostles, so empowered. They were being used so mightily of God at that time that this happened. These two died because they were lying to God, lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to the man of God. Paul, Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, remember Satan is a counterfeit, he's a mimic. Saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Sounds okay, but really it was mocking God. Now this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, that's a reminder. There'll be something you'll think that's off. Someone might be saying the right thing, but you'll just get a little like, there's something wrong with that. Something's wrong here. And you have to go with what that little inclination in your heart is. Go with it because you're operating in discernment. And that's what he did. He turned and he said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I love it. I love it. She was won over to the side of light. Amen? All because someone was bold. Someone had discernment. Someone just didn't speak to the person and say, hey, you're annoying, go away. Someone went a step further. He spoke to the Spirit. Be quiet and come out of here. And she was delivered. And she got set free and she came over into the kingdom. Amen? So always know that God's discernment, yeah, you can hear, but then, well, what next, Lord? You know, what next, God? What shall I do with it next? There's always a what next. So go further, ask deeper, what next, Lord? Amen? Now, the gift of faith. This is the gift of faith manifest through, number one, the church. The gift of faith is when God does something that we can't do. It's not our measure of faith. It's a special spirit of faith, the faith that God has. Amen? So manifest through the church. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen? They spoke the word of God with boldness, and they were not afraid. There's times in our life when we might be in situations, particularly amongst people that we're familiar with, and we're going to have to just whisper, Holy Spirit, give me boldness. I can't do this. I can't even do it in my own faith. And tap in and believe God for that gift of faith to come upon you, and you will be bold for God. The apostles were bold. They were being annoying. They kept preaching the gospel in the temples. It was surely a sign the spirit of faith was upon their lives, because people were out to kill them. And they kept speaking with all boldness. They weren't even afraid. They were not acting like mere men. So tap into that spirit of faith. It's there that we might speak even with boldness and preach the gospel. Amen? Number two, through an angel, Acts 12:6-7. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. I love it. That was the gift of faith at work, operating through the angel to do the supernatural. Hey, you come with me. You have a job to be done. So again, just because people might imprison you and lock you up and tell you to shut up, I don't want to hear about Jesus through you. Oh, no, no. No, no, no. Just ask God, "Hey, God, come upon me with boldness. Spirit of faith, come upon me." And God will give you boldness and you'll end up doing the supernatural. So tap into it. Don't take people's opinions of you as the final word and final authority. Don't listen to people. Don't let them stop you in your tracks, in your ministry and in your calling. And you know what your calling is? To preach the gospel to the poor. Amen? To set the captives free, to make the lame to walk, to make the blind to see. Your calling is to go forth and make disciples. We're children of God. Amen? That's your calling. So we need to go further and deeper. We need to get more serious with God and utilize the gifts of the Spirit to build his kingdom. Amen? Like Danny said, we're not going to do it with having cake and bake sales. You know, or me going next door and giving the lady a tract and a cake and saying, "Jesus loves you," and then leaving. When I've got the gifts of the Spirit, I can utilize an operation. I can dare to believe and say, "Hey, have you got any pain?" Yeah. We've got two young men in Whakatane right now, and they're daring to believe God. They're going and laying hands on the sick and seeing the sick recover and seeing backaches go. They're being bold, cheeky with their faith, pressing in, and it's happening. I love it. I love it with all boldness. Amen. God's turning up. But they're doing it because they've both said, "I don't care if I look like a fool for Christ. If it doesn't work the first time, the second time, the third time." And with one of these young men, it didn't. He was working in someone's house, painting. And he said, "Oh, I want to pray for you. Have you got any pain? She said, "Yeah, I've got a pain in my back." "My God's going to heal that pain." He prayed once, twice. After the third time, "Oh, yeah, right. No, it's all right. Just leave it." So, no, my God's going to heal you. Amen? This is a non-believer. And he prayed the fourth time. He pressed in. Her pain went. She said, "Oh, I've got all these friends. Will you heal them too?" Amen. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. He didn't get intimidated. He didn't stop at that, "Yeah, right, just get on with your job." "No, my God's going to heal you." He kept going. Amen. And he got a breakthrough. Yeah, brilliant. I just thank God for that. So we need that boldness. Amen. I call it cheeky faith. Because that's what I've got, cheeky faith. You would believe that. Amen. So cheeky, I don't even know where I am now. Danny, where am I? Oh, am I just beginning? There you go. That's why when he said, "You can do teaching with me," I never believed him. I thought, I will never be able to keep up with the book. Okay, gifts of healings manifest through Peter. Okay, this is the healing of the lame man at the gate of the temple in the name of Jesus. Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. And all the apostles, the gifts of healing through them. Acts 5:16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Amen. I keep praying. I'm pressing into God. For these latter days, I'm saying, here, my God, use me. I'm not being lazy. I'm after, could I say it like this? I'm after the big guns. I'm wanting God to use me to heal the sick and to have working in miracles through me so that people may know. We say, Jesus loves you. I want to be able to show them the power and the love of Almighty God, our Creator. Amen? Amen. So I'm waiting for the timing, and I'm waiting for that power to come upon me from on high, okay? So the two things I'm waiting on is reminding God there. Okay, Peter, Acts 9:34. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. He was bedridden for 8 years and he was totally paralyzed. Beautiful. The working of miracles. The working of miracles manifested through, first one is an angel, Acts 5:19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. I love this stuff. Even the soldiers can't keep them in prison. Stephen, Acts 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs amongst the people. Philip, Acts 8:39. Now Philip was baptizing a eunuch. And now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. I love that. Supernatural. Maybe sometimes I won't even need a plane. I'll just be caught away. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a working of miracle. I mean, it's something God can do if he wants to. Amen. So if you wake up one day, Danny, and I'm not there, I'm gone. I'll get the angels to explain where I've gone. Okay, the gift of prophecy manifested through certain prophets. Now remember, the gift of prophecy, we can all operate in it, all right? And again, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort to man. All right, it's never to give someone a bash over the head with a hammer. Right? Prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort to man. Eh? Amen? That's when you'll know it's true prophecy. So it came through certain prophets. Acts 13:1-2. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there was a certain prophet and teacher, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. That was the gift of prophecy. Have a look at that, though. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. There's going to be times in our lives when the gifts of the Spirit, they're not going to manifest through us just because we want them. I want. We're going to have to press in and pray. We're going to have to spend hours in prayer, doing our homework, our due diligence before God. Amen? Press into the Holy Spirit and pray. And fasting. Remember Jesus said to his disciples, there was someone that they couldn't even cast the demon out. He said, this kind does not come out except with fasting and prayer. So I know the apostles would have lived a life of fasting and prayer. Amen? You cannot have the power of God without prayer. You must have that backbone of prayer. Jesus had to do it. He left all of his disciples and he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. He's our example. So the more prayer you get involved in, the more you're going to be used by God in the gifts of the Spirit. Faith works, but faith works hard. Amen? We roll up our sleeves to believe God for his gifts, okay? They're freely given as the Spirit wills, but there is a price, and the price to pay is spending that time in prayer in the Word of God, getting into the Spirit. We've got to get into the Spirit. That's our antenna place. That's where we're aligned to receive and be used by God with the gifts of the Spirit. You've got to be tuned into the right channel. It's like a radio station. If it's off tune, you can't hear properly. You've got to be tuned in. Prayer does that. Okay, prayer, reading the word, speaking the word, praying in tongues, that tunes you in to have that outpouring of the Spirit manifest in you and upon your life. Very, very important. Prerequisite is prayer. Amen? Four daughters of Philip, Acts 21:9. Now this man had four virgins, daughters who all prophesied. Once again, anyone can prophesy. Different kinds of tongues. Apparently, Javon pointed out that Danny's tongues sound like some old English version of speaking from the 13th century. I love it. It's very posh. God's got a sense of humour. Using the Scotsman to have diverse tongues in such a special way. Totally amazing. Now we can believe and understand that when you use diverse tongues, that sometimes it could be for someone in the room, and you will be speaking their language. Very, very possible. Happens, has happened, will and can happen in the future. Amen. We had a friend from Scotland years ago. We'd have prayer meetings. And we couldn't get over this guy. He would start praying in tongues, then his tongue would change to Chinese. We swear he was speaking Chinese. We thought, what is wrong with you? He was Scottish. We're in New Zealand. And it was always Chinese. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Well, look, years later, I mean, talking even 12 years later, you know, he's actually practically betrothed to a Chinese woman. So there you go. And he's been out to China. There you go. It was things to come. Amen?
I had a friend who was ministering in the Philippines, and he said he was sitting next to someone while they were praying, and the person was going, yes, you go, crazy, you go, in, like, perfect English. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, you speak English. And the person's like, no. Like, but their tongue was...
saying English. See, it's, I love it. Yeah. It's very possible and practical.
Yeah, you never think of it like that.
I know. It's very real. I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful and personal. God's a very personal God. Very personal God. Okay, so different kinds of tongues through the disciples at Ephesus. Acts 19:6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen. You've seen it manifest through us, and it can manifest through you as well. Interpretation of tongues, manifest through Cornelius' household, Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they were speaking with tongues and they were magnifying God in whatever language they were speaking, which was the interpretation of their own tongue. Amen? Speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Tonight when Danny gave a tongue, I did get an interpretation. I said, was that for everyone else? He said, no, that was for you. So learning, I loved it. All the way through the tongue, I got the words in English. So I must go home and write it down because it was actually for me. That's why when he said, have you got something? No, because it was for me. It wasn't for the body. Okay, so summary. The public ministry of our Lord Jesus was founded on the gifts of the Spirit. All of the gifts were manifested in the ministry of Jesus. Apart from tongues and interpretation, they are totally New Testament gifts. The gifts of the Spirit in the church do not operate exclusively through one person, but all the gifts function collectively between members of the body. Remember, Jesus is the head, and we are the body of Christ collectively.